Hey, everybody, what's up? It's Lex and Stacy. Time for another threesome podcast. This is number 18. How are you, my dear?
I am just great, Lex. How are you?
I am good. Stacy in beautiful, sunny Michigan. And I'm down here in freezing cold Dallas.
It is actually a little sunny here today, but the wind is screaming.
Yeah, it's overcast, kind of humid, and I think it's about 45 degrees outside right now.
It's about 35 here.
I actually kind of like this weather, believe it or not. I'm going to go for a run later because it's perfect. Perfect running weather.
Especially if there's no wind, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's
you can bundle up, but you're not hot or cold, and it's just perfect.
Yeah. And you can, your body just lets you cruise. It doesn't get overheated. You know, you don't get too cold. It's just, you know, you can run 4, 5, 6 miles and no biggie.
Yes.
So I'm going to do that a little later before it gets dark, which isn't that long from now.
I know. That sucks so much.
I know. I mean, it's so weird. It's like, should I go to bed? And then you look over, it's 5:30.
Yes.
It just throws you completely off. But I used to think I got more sleep this time of year. And as it turns out, I don't think I do. Because in the summer, 9 o'clock at night, it gets dark. And my body says, hey, it's dark. Go to bed.
Yeah, you've also got those several hours of extra things that you've done.
Yeah.
Where now it's easy to just, you know, kind of sit your ass down because it's dark. You know, for us with our critters that we have outside, the donkeys and goats and everything, you pretty much now are having to start like at 4:30, 5 o'clock because I hate taking care of them in the dark, especially when it's cold.
Uh-huh.
So to get chores done and stuff, you're starting possibly like at 4:30 and it's just like, wow, first of all, that's a long time for them to go without, you know, between feedings.
Yeah.
I feel guilty about that they have to spend all that darkness standing out there in the cold. But, you know, in the summer, it's an event, you know. You can let the donkeys out in the backyard to hang out with us while we're feeding everyone else. And it's just nice. You have a fire. The bats come out. The birds are flying overhead. It's just nice.
Yeah.
I like taking care of my critters in the summer.
So do you have like any like elk or moose or anything like that in your area?
Not right where I'm at. It's just deer.
Yeah. So, you know, I got friends that live in Minnesota and they see stuff like that all the time.
We do have bobcats. We even had a wolverine.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we don't know how it got there. You can actually look it up, Michigan's wolverine, but not like obviously U of M.
Yeah.
It died a couple years ago. Somehow they actually found it, but it was the first wolverine that's been spotted in the state of Michigan in like 200 years. They have no idea how it got into the thumb because it shouldn't have been here.
What's the difference between a wolverine and a wolf?
Oh, a lot. Wolverines are actually, I think, don't quote me on this, I think they're of the weasel family. They're actually more like a badger.
I see.
Whereas a wolf is, you know, kind of a canine, are they lupine? I don't know. I think goats. Anyway, you know, that's a dog. Wolverines are very nasty, nasty critters. They're kind of the animal, like the honey badger, that nature doesn't fuck with the wolverine.
Yeah.
But there is a great documentary about
them. There's only one left. Something fucked with them.
Well, they're up farther north.
Oh, okay.
Just not in Michigan. They're Canadian and stuff.
I see.
yes.
I thought you meant there was only like one left and it's like, you saw it? Wow.
No, but you know, because it was here and word had gotten out and there were news stories, the DNR, the Michigan DNR, which is the Department of Natural Resources and stuff, they had to not tell where it was sighted because people were trying to hunt it.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, people. Is it just let it be, you know?
Yeah. Would you want something hanging on your wall for people to come by the rest of their life and go, what's that?
I know.
Oh, that's a wolverine. Oh.
Well, that's like the poachers. There are so few of the old giant elephants left in the world, the big bull elephants that are 50-plus years old because, you know, they're all poached. And I think it was back during the summer, like within a week, two of the biggest elephants left in the world were killed and their faces hacked off for the ivory.
Right.
And it made me so mad. I was, you know, that feeling of helplessness because there's nothing I can do, but it just made me so mad.
I watched 60 Minutes over the weekend and they had the same thing about lions. And they have like these cub sanctuaries like over in Africa, and people, you know, from the United States predominantly take trips over there and you can pet all these lion cubs and, you know, interact with them and all that. But what happens is they get older and you can't release them into the wild because they just die. So what they do is they give them to these people to put on sanctuaries, and then people pay to hunt them like fish in a barrel.
And that isn't hunting. We actually, right here where I live, probably within 5-10 miles from here, there is a deer farm like that.
Yeah.
And the city people come up from Detroit and go out there and, you know, you see them. I mean, there's a meadow part when you're driving by, and it's not uncommon to see them out there eating. But you can see where the people who own it have put hay and corn and stuff out for them. And it's like, okay, where they're maybe not making them pets and petting them and stuff, they certainly have become accustomed to humans being around and providing them with food.
Yeah.
And then to pay money to just walk in somewhere and shoot something, you know, I don't know. I am not a hunter, but I would think part of the hunt is outwitting something, mm-hmm. you know, besting it, especially if you're doing it with bow and arrow. If you can shoot something and kill it with a bow, you kind of are deserving of that.
Yeah, I went hunting one time in my life with my uncle, and it was for deer, and it was with a bow and arrow. And he actually killed a pretty large-sized buck with a bow and arrow. And he got it right in the side, knocked it down. You know, it was suffering, and then he pulled out a gun and put it out of its misery.
Gotcha.
You know, but he never shot anything with a gun, and usually got about one a year. And he completely skinned it, took the meat, all that stuff. I mean, used every single bit of it, and was very careful to tell me, it's like, don't ever do this if you're just going to leave an animal laying there, or you're not going to consume it, or he says that's wrong.
See, I have a neighbor who is, I believe, truly one of the worst people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's just awful. And he's stupid. He's just, oh. And he talks about things that I feel he shouldn't talk about. And it's not even anything to do with my belief system. But a few years ago, he was talking about how he had poached a bunch of deer on his property outside of hunting season, you know, hence poaching.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, my freezer was too full. So I just, you know, took the prime pieces of meat and, you know. And it's like, well, then why? Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
If your freezer's full and you don't intend on giving it to anyone else, don't do that. It just makes me so mad, you know, and I will be the first one, you know, if it came down to me having to feed my children and my children were going to starve, I would be out there poaching deer. I'm not saying that people should for the joy of it, but, you know, if it came down to feeding, because ultimately that's what hunting is supposed to be about.
Yes.
Is feeding. I would be out killing animals outside of hunting season if my children were going to starve.
That's true.
I would hate it. I would probably cry through the whole thing, but yeah. I would do it, you know.
Do what you got to do.
Exactly.
But it's just amazing to me how somebody can get gratification out of killing a beautifully maned male lion when you're doing it inside an enclosure.
I know. I really think that speaks more to, like, you know, being a psychopath.
No, it speaks insecurity to me. It speaks, you know, I got a trophy. You're not a hunter, you're a collector.
I think everyone, though, knows that one person that you've met at some point in your life, and, you know, you might be a hunter and all your friends might be hunters, but there's that one person who possibly makes you a little uncomfortable because they are the person who will go up and just, like, break the neck of a baby bird and don't think about it. Yeah. And I'm not even saying like it's hurt, you know, there's a cat. I'm going to go shoot the cat in the backyard, that they just want to kill and shoot something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. Everybody knows that person.
Yes.
And it's just sad. I don't want to get into a whole guns and hunting thing and all that, because you're right. There's people that do it right. They hunt within the law, within hunting season. They take what they can under what they're allowed to. And I'm okay with that. I really
am. Yeah, so am I. I honestly have no issue with hunters. And, you know, for me, this isn't a gun thing. It's just the respect for another life. If you do kill it, maybe, depending on your religious beliefs, maybe just take a moment just to silently say thank you. You know, for the life that you've just taken, and you're now going to turn into delicious summer sausage.
Yeah. And I certainly don't want to get involved in the gun dispute, because I think if people want to have a gun, they should be able to have one if they want. I just don't think they need a, you know, 50 caliber, you know, gun that can blow somebody's side of a house off, or, you know, some sort of semi-automatic, you know, high caliber machine gun that can obliterate a car in one little squeeze of the trigger.
Or you should hear my neighborhood on any given summer evening, the militias practicing all the time.
Yeah. And and it's just, you know, it's completely unnecessary. You know, and if you want something like that, you should have to go through some sort of military training like our soldiers do to use it. You know, but before you even get it put in your hands, you know, there's got to be some instructor somewhere that's confident that you know how to use it.
And doesn't put it in the hands of an 8-year-old.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
I know. No, again, I have no issue with hunting. You know, I will say, in my perfect unicorn, sparkly pixie dust world, there would be no need for hunting. But I understand hunting. I understand that it keeps animal levels under control, you know, so that they're not starving to death during the winter with overpopulation. And the whole idea of feeding, you know, there's actually a program here where you can donate your deer to various food pantries and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you just want to go get your deer, but you don't need the meat, you can donate it so that hungry people in the area can have that.
Yeah, because venison's such awesome protein, so good for you.
Plus, too, where I live, which is in the thumb of Michigan, it's very agricultural here. So the deer here, literally, corn. Fed,
yeah.
You know, you go up into the northern part of Michigan and the UP, and I'm not saying that the deer aren't good there, but it's swampier. Mm-hmm. So the meat does have a very different taste.
Yeah.
It's not as good, I've heard a lot of people say.
Yeah. Well, I've only had venison probably a half dozen times in my life, and it was very enjoyable, I must say. So
I've actually fought with my mom, because where she lives, deer get hit like and die in her yard like a couple times a year. Mm-hmm. And she will just give them to people. And it's like trying to drive it into her head. Mom, if this happens, call us. If it's not 80 degrees outside, and we will gladly take that deer and go get it processed for you.
Yeah.
Don't give it away to other people. What are you doing? You know,
I know. Well, you know, moms, they're not astute on stuff like that.
She just wants to be helpful, and bless her for it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, sure, if you want to put that deer in the back of your truck, you go right ahead.
So, you know, how was your Thanksgiving? Did you enjoy the start of your official start of your holiday?
My brother came home, and we had Thanksgiving dinner with him and my mom, and my elderly uncle and my two cousins came over. So it was, you know, seven of us, I guess. It was nice. I didn't get a good night's sleep. In fact, I was up. I never fell asleep the night before. So I just kind of was a zombie all day in the chair, you know. So it wasn't like I was entertaining.
For the first year, I've probably cooked Thanksgiving dinner myself about 3 or 4 times, you know, other than an aunt or, you know, somebody in Sandy's family used to cook it or whatever the case is. I've probably cooked it 3 or 4 times. And for the first time, I didn't mess up anything.
You could.
Everything came out like at the right time, the right temp. I mean, it was delicious, but it was just, you know, three of us.
I know, and then you're kind of like, eh.
And then I got this 11-pound bird and all these leftovers, and we felt compelled to eat them, so I put on at least 6 pounds since last Thursday.
But luckily, that will go away fairly quickly.
Will it?
It will. Trust me on this.
But it's the holidays are so tough to lose weight. You know, I know. I mean, just all the stuff we just talked about, the cold weather, wanting to stay inside, all that stuff. And, you know, I'm just sick of the holidays because I just feel like everybody's trying to get over on me, which is a pet peeve of mine. And I know it annoys Lisa to death that I'm always suspicious of people and always, you know,
you're festive.
It's just, you know, I'm 17 years older than her. So I have 17 more holidays to see how they're trying to move this from the day after Christmas to Halloween, you know, to start selling their shit, you know, and it's very methodical and it's almost like a day at a time. But after Halloween, I saw in stores like Target and Michael's and places like that, Christmas decorations go up immediately.
Right.
4 weeks before Thanksgiving. And I tried to go buy Christmas lights over the weekend, and they're like gone.
See, I had to, and this is what irritates me. First of all, I live in a very small town, so we have a Walmart. You know, for me to go to Target, I'm going to have to drive 45 minutes. So it's not that I choose to shop at Walmart, but sometimes you just have to it's all we have.
It's convenient.
So I couldn't go anywhere near Walmart until yesterday, and it wasn't for anything, you know, gifty or anything, just to get stuff that, you know, I would need to live my life in my home, you know, supplies type stuff. And it was like, I have to wait because the cars, the parking lots filled all the way up to the road. You know, it's like, oh my God, I just want to shop, but I don't want to go in at 2 a.m.
No.
And so that made me angry because it's like, you know, some of us aren't there for the deals. We just want to live.
Yeah. I just want a box of Tide.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And you know, the whole Black Friday thing, my daughter had to work. She worked 4 o'clock Thanksgiving afternoon to midnight, came home, got 5 hours sleep, and went back to work at 6 a.m.
I'm sorry. And see, that makes me angry. I will support businesses that close right up for the entire day of Thanksgiving. It even makes me mad grocery stores who stay open until like noon or something. It's like,
well, that kind of saved my ass this year, so I can't be hypocritical about that.
Well, you know.
But they
I'm sure those employees weren't wanting to go home and, you know, make their dinner too.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, look at it this way. On what they pay those people, they probably can't even afford to make dinner anyway.
I know. It's very true.
You know, and the one girl behind the register did tell me they get paid double time to work on Thanksgiving. So, yeah, you know, I'm sure most of them chose to work.
I hope so. And, you know, again, if you want to volunteer, if you know, you want to, you want that double pay, time and a half, whatever, go do it. But I also don't think that the company should be, you know, out to get the people who opted to not work on Thanksgiving. Because that happens then. Because if you don't volunteer to work, there's that mark somewhere on your personal record that they know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Oh, you hear about it every year.
Yeah. I mean, there are some companies that do it, but, you know, I think this company was on the up and up. They offered double time. People jumped on it. I don't think they had any loss of people that wanted to work. So, I bet they had people fighting over it.
Well, I hope so. You know, I mean, if that's an opportunity, then I hope people are allowed to take it and can get it and and do what they want. Because again, it's all about freedom of choice.
Yeah. This grocery store is very Publix-like. You know, they...
Is it family-owned?
I'm not sure. I don't think it is. I think it's a Safeway store.
Gotcha.
But they seem to be pretty good to their employees. I've lived where I've lived for about a year and a half now, and they've had like literally no turnover of employees. It's the same people, which is usually a sign things are pretty good.
Right.
So they were open 6 to noon. I had to go get a couple things twice.
Or it just means employees are fucking each other behind their spouses' backs.
That could mean that as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It's interesting you brought that up. It's kind of random, but okay. I'm sure it meant something to you.
It does.
Anyway, hate the fucking holidays, and
yes.
That's all there is to it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you people that, you know, I'm in a festive, warm, you know, soft, fuzzy mood, because I'm not, ever.
I am more so than normal, because I did put up a tree yesterday for the first time in like 10 years. And I listened to Christmas music while I did it.
I can't listen to Christmas music, because it almost ruined my career.
How?
Well, you remember when I was a program director, right?
I've heard you talk about it.
Yeah. Well, for some reason, for about 10 years, 7 of which I was the music director, and then the last 3 as the program director, our ratings would fall off the map in December. And we always had these 10 or 15 rock Christmas songs we played. Father Christmas, and you know that goddamn Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is coming to town, and you know,
God, I know, yeah. It's like,
with that speech he does before, it's like he goes, hey, Blitzen, you got over there, yeah, you know,
Bob and Doug McKenzie,
yeah, Bob and Doug, do, 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 do. All that, you know, just the same old shit, you know. And
Band-Aid. Don't forget Band-Aid.
Yeah. So one year, I decided, you know, the music director comes in to me and he says, you know, you want me to go ahead and put all this Christmas music in? And I went, no. No, let's just leave it the fuck alone. And he goes, okay. So about a week or two goes by and finally the general manager, Mark, who you know very well, comes down the hall and he goes, buddy,
Max.
He goes, all the other radio stations in the cluster seem pretty festive and playing some Christmas music, you know, and you know, I noticed that rock isn't. And I went, yeah, I think it's ratings death and I'm not playing it anymore. I said, we have tanked in December every single year for the last decade, so I'm changing it up a little bit. I may be completely wrong. It may mean absolutely nothing. It may be just people don't want to fill out diaries that time of year or whatever the case is, but I'm changing it up, and I'm taking our 15-share radio station and leaving it the fuck alone. I'm not doing anything. He goes, but it's Christmas. I'm like, you're Jewish.
Yes.
What do you care? Seriously.
We could add Adam Sandler if you'd like.
I said, just go with me on this. Well, let's see what happens. We have nothing to lose, right? And he goes, well, it's an interesting theory. Well, sure enough, the ratings come out in late January and our December was huge. And the year after that it was, and the year after that. So I hypothesized, once I had enough data, that this shit was killing us. So when I hear this stuff on rock stations when I'm driving around, and I am, even to this day, I just shake my head and go, you have no idea what you're doing to yourself.
No. I am Santa Claus. That song, too. I just thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like six or seven of them. And,
I know.
And, you know, you got your consultant saying, you know, play these once an hour. It's, really brings the station into the holiday. And it's like, fuck you. I'm not playing that death music anymore.
See, now, my last radio job.
Speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You say, play the best music you can, and the 20 yes. minutes people listen to the radio, and then the other side of your mouth is, play the shitty Christmas music.
My last radio job, I ran like a little tiny radio station, and it was, I don't even know what you'd call it. It wasn't top 40 or hot AC or anything, but it was like, once something became a hit, then we added it about 3 months later after it was a proven hit kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it was,
totally, Pussy 107?
Kind of, yes, yeah. Very much. And my it was awful, but...
We don't take a chance on any music. Try us exactly. now. Pussy 107. Another hour of completely filtered and tested to perfection music.
Exactly. The one thing I did add a 90s category for alternative and went out of my way to try to keep it like soft and light. But, you know, so it'd be like the Cranberries.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. Get like today, you know, just... Yeah, it added a little hipness to it, but nothing that would make you go, wow, this is an alternative 90s station.
Yeah, because nothing spells, you know, warm and friendly like Zombie by the Cranberries.
We didn't do that one, I don't think.
Okay.
Like Linger, you know.
Okay,
but,
Linger, okay. All right.
I did throw some stuff. But anyway, that they wanted kind of the same thing. It was like we'd start out right after Thanksgiving playing some, you know, like there'd be a Christmas song that would show up like every 2 hours. And then as they got closer to Christmas, it would start coming up so that maybe you had two or three songs an hour, but it wasn't all that. And my general manager kind of did the same thing, crawled up my ass and was like, why aren't we playing all Christmas music? And it's like, I don't know. Tell me, Lex, because you are definitely more seasoned. My theory and what I said to him was, because people, if they're tuning into this station, it's because they are accustomed to something that they want to hear.
Well,
if we screw that by playing all Christmas music, I know I, as a listener, would be pissed.
That's exactly it. It's like you spend 11 months a year building a brand and you want to decimate it for people for no reason whatsoever. Why the fuck do you want to do that when you have four stations in town right now playing nothing but Christmas music until the first of the year? Oh, and by the way, two of them are changing format at the beginning of the year.
Right.
You know, what does that tell you? So no.
I did concede, and we did on Christmas Day. I think starting like Christmas Eve evening, we went all Christmas and then all day. So it was like, okay, there you go. But you can be sure that on December 26th, there was nary a Christmas song to be heard.
I didn't relinquish at all. And he had consultants calling me and the owner of the company called me. And I'm like, look. You know, it's your business. If you want to put a gun to my head and make me play Christmas music, fine. But here's what's happened the last 4 years, and I think this is the reason. So what the fuck do we have to lose?
Especially because it's rock. Rock is so different than, you know, your hot AC, you know?
I said this shit is kryptonite every time it comes on the radio. Led Zeppelin, Leonard Skinner, and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Father Christmas. No.
Thank God, you know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra was a little saving grace, but, you know, you can't play them every hour.
You know, it's like, I'm not doing it. Fire me, do whatever you want. I could say stuff like that because Lex and Terry was number one and just kicking ass. And
guys were stars.
Yeah, I could just be a dick about it and say, no, I'm not... Yeah, the word no came out of my mouth so many times to salespeople, and you know, I'm sure they all hated my fucking guts. But you know, I used the Lex and Terry power to get away with what I wanted in the programming side of things. I was so sad the day I relinquished that job to David. You know,
I didn't know you as PD. I came there with David.
Yeah, I relinquished that job to David and was glad to do so because it was very long days and everything. And he did a great job. He was smart enough not to fuck the radio station up, and he didn't play Christmas music either. You know, I gave him the data, I gave him the story, and he goes, good to know. And by next Christmas, he didn't do it either. But he did tell me that Mark came in again and tried to get him to do it. Now that Lux is gone, we can play some Christmas music. And David goes, yeah, he told me about that. I think we're going to stick with what wins.
You know, I worked at one radio station where the general manager actually came from the programming side. He had been a program director at several alternative stations out in New Mexico
and
stuff.
That could be bad, too, though.
You know, he was the best because it was the only time ever that a GM took our side.
Yeah.
And the ratings were through the roof. I mean, at that time, things were working, you know, we were rocking. So it worked, but it was just so nice because any other general manager I've ever dealt with is strictly, you know, a bean counter.
Yeah, group programmers and program directors, they're also fucking weird. You know, Terry and I were in negotiations with this station in Tampa, and the market manager and the PD came up to talk to us, and the market manager was doing all the talking, and he's like, this is what our format is. This is kind of what we do. You guys are a little over the edge for it on the surface, but we think everything will be fine and all this stuff, and he was talking about the music they play and, you know, how it's gotten them where they are, blah, 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 blah. And this guy that's sitting there, it was like somebody pulled a string in his back, goes, I went in at 5 o'clock on a Friday and put this bitch on and we were rolling by Monday. And, wow. And I went, did we say something to the effect you didn't? I was like, did we offend you? And he goes, no, I'm just saying, you know, this radio station was built on music. And I said, they're all built on music. Nobody throws a fucking show on when the radio station's brand new. Come on, man. What are you trying to fucking tell me here? You know, everybody starts with not only just music, but usually no air talent, no nothing. They just let people know this is what the music's going to be, and then they integrate everything else in. So you did that on a Friday. It was up on a Monday, which between you and me is probably 18 to 36 hours longer than it would have taken me. And and you got it on the air. Great. But now you need a morning show because you're getting your ass kicked. Why are we talking about this? Why? And Terry was making fun of him, and it was, you know, it was all bad. Yeah, it's like this guy didn't say a word through the whole thing. You know, it's like people get all stuck on themselves. And you know how the business is. That drives me nuts.
Yeah, there's a lot of ego.
But, you know, I could never make them understand with the Christmas stuff or the specialty programming and stuff like that. It's like, I didn't even like when my TV shows addressed Christmas and holidays. Like,
unless it was the very special Blizzard episode of Little House.
No, not even that. It's like, I don't want my TV shows in real fall programming TV time. You know, I really expect, you know, there actually was a Christmas version of Battlestar Galactica once. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
That wasn't the one where Starbuck and the Cylon ended up on the planet together. And then they became friends, and then the Cylon died.
I don't know. But they were celebrating Christmas on, like, the Mothercraft, you know, Lauren Green and
Elpo.
And I'm like, oh, my God, you whores managed to get Christmas fit in here on a science fiction show. Are you fucking kidding me? You know, I used to hate when TV, they still do it. You know, I guarantee when we turn on Blue Bloods on Friday night, Tom Selleck's going to be at the head of the table, thanking God for Christmas and that his family's together, because that's every episode of Blue Bloods.
And there's a Christmas tree right behind him.
Oh yes, a beautifully Macy's yes. Rockefeller Center decorated tree, and he'll be in his full uniform, his police uniform, and all of, and his five generations of cop kids will be in theirs, and his district attorney daughter, and you know, it's like, God, will you fucking stop? You were a magnum, for Christ's sake. You were a bumbling idiot that just was good looking.
Who always wore a Detroit Tigers hat.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was always getting to the scene too late. He was always forgetting shit, fucking up. Now he's the perfectly buttoned up, I've made perfect seeds for four generations. Even his dad was the perfect cop and had his job. I mean, it's... That fucking show kills me, but I guarantee you by this Friday night or the following Friday night, you will see that fucking Christmas tree there, and they will be thanking God and family, and nothing works without family because there's 36 of us, and we all do shit together all the time. You know, it's crazy.
So why do you watch the show when you obviously despise it so much?
That's why. Because it's such a cliche, I can't look away. You know, it's I want to see if I'm right. And I am, almost every time. It's like, you know, if you're a real New York cop family, you know, you'd be covering Donnie's ass for killing that fucking slime ball that, you know, he was should have taken into jail, but he blew his fucking head off instead. You know,
racial and, profiling.
Yeah, you know, and all that shit. You know, you'd be doing like dirty cop stuff like everybody else. It's like, no, son. You blew somebody's head off outside of police protocol, and you're going to have to be investigated because we don't do anything outside the lines. And then he gets, like, prosecuted by his own sister, you know, the DA. And it's like rules are rules, Bobby, and I'm going to have to prosecute you. It's like, you're my fucking sister. You're not fucking prosecuting me, you cunt. That's what it should really sound like.
And at you least know, one person you, should be drunk at the dinner table.
Yeah, and if you do think about prosecuting me, I'm going to tell Dad you've had six abortions, which won't fly very well in our Catholic little family, will it? Yeah, that's right. I did a little investigating on my own because I'm a dirty cop.
And I'm going on online message boards plotting to kill and eat someone somewhere.
Yeah. And if you prosecute me, I'll have your legs broken. So you lose the evidence, bitch. All right?
That's or you might have a fire in your apartment.
If I was writing that show, it'd just be called Bloods. As in, I'm in bed with the Bloods and you better not fuck with me, Dad. Yeah, it's... oh God, it's so milquetoast. I can't stand it. And they always do the right thing,
like the Cosbys.
Yeah, like most of the Cosbys. Yes.
Well, hey, you know we're talking about.
Just think if we went back and redid the Cosby episodes with Bill as he really is, how awesome would that be?
All of Denise's friends would be groggy.
Hey, Lisa Bonet. Come on over here and have a hot toddy with your daddy.
Gross.
Oh, you're a little sleepy, huh?
Here, put this robe on.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. A Felicia Rashad walk in, or whatever her name is. What are you, Cliff? What are you doing? I'm drug raping our daughter.
Okay, are you familiar with the Christmas rape song?
No.
Baby, it's cold outside.
No.
Where I think it's Nat Cole and someone else was singing, and she's saying, "I need to leave." You know, you know the song.
Yeah.
It is a classic Christmas song. It's like a man and a woman singing together, and she's saying she's got to leave, and he's like, "Oh, baby, don't go." And it's the Christmas rape song. If you listen to the words, it's pretty awful. But I had a friend yesterday suggest that maybe Bill Cosby and Janis Dickinson should redo that song.
That's awesome. Janis Dick and me.
That's her Cosby name.
Yeah, I mean, the TV just kills me like that. It's like, man, does it have to be in real time like it's Christmas for them too? You know, because cable doesn't do that to you. You don't see Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson on True Detectives, you know, step out of the swamp and put on their, you know, Daniel Boone antler hats and go, "Hey, let's go have some Christmas drinks." You know, what the fuck?
Now, are Daniel Boone hats part of Christmas? Is that something in Texas?
No, I'm just saying, you know, it's... Yeah, you know, that one's like, down in like a Louisiana swamp somewhere. So, you know,
okay.
You know, let's go hang out with the Duck Dynasty people. For God's sakes, they're celebrating Christmas every week. Or at least they should be.
Because, I mean, we wear toques, but only because it's cold, not because it's Christmas.
Right.
Just saying.
Yeah. I just get fed up with it. You know, next time you watch TV in the next couple of weeks, I don't care what it is. I don't care what the show is. It could be as far away from any kind of family environment whatsoever. They will incorporate Christmas into that show. There is no question about it. If you can find me one that doesn't, I'll be blown away. In some
Even
way.
Seinfeld, that's how we got Festivus.
Yeah, well, I mean, Seinfeld's different because Seinfeld makes fun of it.
And brought us Festivus.
Yeah. Brought us all kinds of great shit. I mean, the bubble boy, come on. Take your top off. The answer to the question is Moors, you moron. No, I'm sorry. It's Moops. Says right here, and he goes, "That's a misprint. It's Moors." Nope, it says Moops. You lose. I love Costanza.
I knew that about you.
Yeah. Well, that's Terry's nickname for me. I don't know why.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. But he's the man.
You need to now go find, when we get done recording this, you need to go, like, just for once, for posterity, look up and listen to the Baby It's Cold Outside.
I will.
Christmas song, just so you can hear. I mean, I know it wasn't the intent when the song was originally created, but now in this day and age, it takes on a completely creepy connotation. She just wants out of there, and he's not letting her.
All right. I just made a note to do exactly that as soon as we're done here. Speaking of the holidays, I think I found somebody who's going to have a bad one.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Scott Stapp.
Yeah. Apparently Jesus' birthday isn't lucky for him.
Yeah, nobody's arms are wide open for Scott right now. And now that song, Higher... That probably could work for him because he certainly can't go any lower.
Crystal meth, it's a heck of a thing.
It's a hell of a drug. He's living in a hotel. His wife has filed for divorce, citing the fact that he is pretty deranged.
Well, he's been on like a crystal meth, coke, God knows what else, bender for like days and days and days.
Now that I haven't seen. I just know he's penniless.
And blames Obama.
He does?
Yes.
No shit.
Yes. He said that he did an interview like in 2012 and badmouthed Obama in the interview. And he is blaming everything, his financial situation now, on Obama getting him back. Sicking the IRS on him and stuff.
Well, the IRS gets sicked on you when you don't pay your taxes, Scott.
Well, you know, I guess your reality is what you want it to be.
And you know what? The IRS, I obviously, after going through some, you know, marital stuff and divorce and all that, and had to liquidate my 401k and didn't take enough tax stuff out and all that, all I did was call the IRS and say, hey, I overtook it out. I don't have the money to pay it right now, and this is how I'll pay it back if that's okay. And they went, yeah, we'll send you vouchers and you can pay it off like that. That was
so they weren't truly terrible people.
No, they were actually really nice people. They completely understood, thanked me for calling and being upfront about it, and sent me payment vouchers, and I now have got like two more payments left and I'll be good to go.
So, you know, my mom just recently had to deal with the IRS. This is actually scary because, you know, you hear about the phone scams and everything, but it's never anybody that you know.
Yeah.
My mom, a couple weeks ago, she came home and there was a message from the IRS, quote unquote IRS, saying that she owed like, you know, $2,600 and that if she didn't call back, they were going to be contacting our local sheriff's department and having them sent out to her house to arrest her.
See, they don't do that. They come arrest you themselves.
Right. And she is, you know, savvy and alert enough and everything. She recognized, but still it worried. So she did call the number. And it was a foreign person, possibly of like Indian or Pakistani descent. It had, you know, they had that kind of accent.
Yeah.
And they really, really, you know, it's like, this is my mom. They really kind of strong-armed her. And I can see where this would be terrifying for an old person, an elderly person. He wanted her to go get a cashier's check right there. And he told her that if she hung up, he was going to call the police. So he was making her stay on the phone. Now, she was pretending to drive. She was like doing all this. But while she was talking to him, she called 911 on another phone. And he finally hung up when he realized that she was not actually in her vehicle driving to get a cashier's check to send to him for the IRS. But, you know, it was actually just kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
At you know, no, telling her not to hang up the phone.
I heard that scam was out there. But, you know, for one thing, the IRS is not like that. You get tons of correspondence to make your shit right before they come and get you for tax evasion and stuff like that. You will get letters. The letters will say stuff like, you know, you owe this. We can work out payment plans. We, you know, we will sympathize with your situation. We'll try and, you know, make it so we can get paid and, you know, it doesn't get ugly and stuff like that. And
right.
You know, and if you're not, if it goes from point zero to the sheriff's coming out, it's a scam.
Well, mom called both the police and they couldn't do anything because she had not given them money, thank God. So there was nothing that they could do. But she did call the IRS just to make absolutely certain everything was good. And they were also very kind. So it's kind of like, you know, in the last month now, I've heard two people saying that the IRS was actually kind of kind. But they were very kind. They gave her another number to call to report the scam. But apparently the scam has bilked people out of like $5 million nationwide.
Oh, more than that.
And folks, that right there is a reason why you should stay in contact with your elderly parents more than once a week. You need to know who's calling them, and you need to assure them that everything is okay with their finances and stuff.
Listen, you can call the IRS if you're in trouble, and they will work something out for you. They want you to pay your taxes. They want you to, you know, they want their money, and they want you to just be on the up and up so they don't have to chase you all over the fucking place.
Right.
And they won't come seize your shit if they're like a bank. They won't come get your shit if you're upfront with them. If you stay in contact with them, if you don't evade them. That's what you go to jail for. Tax evasion. If you're talking to them, what aren't you doing? Evading them.
Exactly. And they aren't going to strong arm you. If someone is making you feel uncomfortable on the telephone, just hang up and call the police. You know, that's, you need to tell your parents and your elderly neighbors this. If someone's telling you not to hang up the phone because they're going to call the police on you, they're bad people.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is why you see those businesses on TV that will speak in your behalf with them and all that, because they're completely approachable on people's situations, because they realize that out of some people, they'd rather get a little something than nothing.
Right.
They're not.
It doesn't help them if you're in jail.
They are not what they used to be.
They've gone through some massive PR.
Yeah, there has been in the last 30 years so many laws and so many things that have taken place that protect you from them. Yes, they can still seize your shit. You know, if you don't take advantage of those laws and stay in contact with them and set up payment plans and so on and so forth. But, you know, they would rather work with you than against you. I know this myself because they worked with me over a pretty significant sum of money.
Right.
You know, so I have nothing bad to say about them whatsoever.
And they're just doing their jobs. You know, if you're pissed off about taxes, take that up with your politicians.
Yeah, listen, what happened was my fault. I was trying to pay bills and stuff like that through the divorce, so I took my 401k and did not take enough out for taxes, so I ended up with a five-figure amount of money that is theirs.
Right.
Once my accountant told me that, I called them up, worked it out, no problem. They went, yeah, we'll set up a payment plan. What works for you? How much can you afford? I told them. They sent me vouchers, and it got taken direct pay right out of my account every month. No problem. So, I'm sorry. I believe in taxes because the roads we drive on, the things that you don't even think about that you enjoy every day come from our tax dollars.
Exactly. I had a significant argument with a friend once upon a time about how why should he have to pay taxes? And it's like, hey, you're driving on roads, aren't you? You know, there's all kinds of things that you don't even think about that you take for granted, but someone's paying for it, and that would be us.
Yeah, they did a mock study one time of us not paying taxes, and everything that we use to pay taxes, we pay a la carte for. And it turned out we would pay 55% of our money to use those things as opposed to 40.
Right.
And with no write-offs.
Yeah.
So you're basically, if you wanted to drive to work and every road would have a toll on it, you know, think about it. Yeah. This is stuff our money pays for. Schools, roads, bridges. You want to pay a toll over every bridge you go over? You would be.
Your police, your fire departments.
Yes. Yeah, you want people, all that extra money you have from not paying taxes, you want somebody to be able to just come put a gun to your head and take it right out of your house?
Yeah, can you afford personal security?
Hello, Pakistan.
It would be like the Purge, but every day.
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, you're not going to get me to say anything bad about the IRS. You know, could they do some things differently? Is the tax code whack? Yes, it is.
Yes.
I prefer a flat tax rate and no write-offs, personally.
I agree. I do think, you know, if you make more money, you know, there are those who unfortunately, for whatever reason, don't make much money.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I think, I don't know. We won't get into it. I'm trying to avoid politics today.
My feeling is that if you make under the poverty line, you should just be excused from paying taxes, and that takes the place of any kind of government assistance.
I would agree with you on that. You know, but unfortunately, you will still get the people. See, they're getting stuff for free. I think they should still be having to pay and stuff. And at some point, you know what? I'm sorry, folks. Society has to take care of its own. And yes, I agree. I know there are people that take full advantage of it and work the system, but there are those that don't. And those are the people that welfare is in place for, and food stamps and bridge cards and everything else. There are people that need that stuff to live.
It's the same thing with immigration. It drives me crazy to have arguments with people because I say the words, we need to completely secure our borders. And, you know, I'll have, you know, Tea Partiers and Republicans go, yeah, Lex, that's real surprising coming from you, man. You know, I know you're not exactly a right winger. And I'm like, hold on. I'm not done.
I agree with you.
Yeah. You know,
believe it or not.
I said, my problem is that you want to round up all these people and send them back to the other side, and you don't understand the cost that we will take on as people to throw people out as compared to taxing them now that they have infiltrated into our jobs and our society. The fiscal difference between those two things is crippling.
Right. No, I agree. I would never dream of, for instance, hey, you know what? I'm going to move to France, but I'm not going to tell France that I'm there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to expect everyone to speak English to me. And I expect that I'm not going to know their laws so I can do whatever I want. No, if I were going to move to France, for instance, I would have at least a working knowledge of the language so that I could survive. I would, you know, do everything in my power to make sure that I understood their laws and yep. how things worked over there. And I certainly wouldn't expect anyone to bend over backward to kiss my ass because I moved there.
So I'm totally cool with the Great Wall of America.
Me too.
You know, going from Texas all the way to California. I'm good with it. I really am. And for people to come in here, you know, like everybody else comes in here from other countries, you know, go through the proper process, you know, through our, you know, immigration offices and everything else.
But that's it. Fill out the paperwork. I will welcome you with open arms. It's not that I hate Mexicans or Venezuelans or whatever. Just, you know, follow our laws. Show the country a little bit of respect and follow our laws when you come over here.
But for the 5 million people that are here, plus, which I think it's a lot more personally.
Oh, I think so too.
You know, the cost of removing them and sending them back to Mexico would be in a quarter of our deficit, I would think.
Just the gas alone, whether you bust them, flew them, whatever, think about that. Oh, moving 5 million people is going to require a lot of fuel.
Not to mention the strained relations with Mexico, sending them 5 million people and dumping them in their lap and so on and so forth. You know, it is what it is at this point. The solution has to be that they get legitimized. And still there's going to be leftover riffraff that needs to go.
Yes.
You know, but if somebody's come here and built a life and all that's left for them to do is pay taxes with their income and legitimize themselves, I think fiscally speaking, that's the way to go. But yeah, otherwise, let's build a fucking wall and shut the faucet off.
And, you know, and it's even just the safety. You know, you hear about these kids and the old ladies and, you know, the people that are traveling across that desert and dying before they make it and stuff. It just makes me sad that they're going through this so that they can live illegally and basically, you know, in a shadow world once they're over here.
All right. Well, we got to shore things up here. We're done.
Yes.
But next episode, remind me, I want to talk to you about Detroit since you live so close to there. I got something sent to me that enraged me.
Okay.
And I want to talk about that as well as other things. There's lots to talk about. So until Threesome Podcast number 19, which is our next one, I want to thank Drew Hillis at DBC for making us possible here at the Threesome Podcast, Stacey and myself, the Legend Cast, which is a music show I do. I very much enjoy. Terry James Alive, the James Gang, which he does with his nephew and his other brother, which is pretty damn funny at times. You got Under the Shade Tree with Dee, the Ian Gleason Show, the Sarah B. Show, and of course our friends Gunnar and Chow from our Fargo affiliate, who are a really good show, and Catching a Buzz is awesome. Those two
ThreesomePodcast.com. Sorry.
And ThreesomePodcast.com is where you can find our podcast and everything that's Lex and Stacy. As far as the Threesome Podcast goes, threesome, that's the letter or the number three, by the way,
yes.
somepodcast.com. And until then, love you, Stacy. See you next time.
Love you too, Lexi Poo.
Bye.